A Chinese tech company pays the price for dealing with Iran and North Korea. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. Chinese telecom firm ZTE will pay a $1.2 billion fine to the U.S. for violating sanctions by selling technology to Iran and North Korea. The case highlights how tricky things can get with our increasingly global economy and supply chain. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams joins us with more on this. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Mark.
So ZTE's stock went up when the fine was announced. We sometimes see that happens, but it can be a little counterintuitive. So why did the markets look favorably on the deal being made?
So, Mark, this agreement basically clears the way for ZTE to keep using American components in its products, which is crucial for the company. About 25% to 30% of their components come from the U.S., so not to reach a deal would have forced them to redo a big chunk of their supply chain.
And explain that supply chain and how the complexity there kind of made some of these things possible for it to get away with this for so long.
Right. So ZTE basically set up a bunch of shell companies to avoid detection. Nicholas Economides is a professor at NYU, and he says the complexity of supply chains for these big multinational companies makes it really hard for regulators to enforce sanctions.
The world has become so integrated, or globalized, if you want. So it's very difficult to protect the U.S. technology from falling to what the United States considers its enemies.
Especially when, as the U.S. says is the case here, companies actively try to deceive investigators.
It is complicated, but eventually most companies get caught. Why do they take the risks quickly?
So, of course, there's the profit argument, but it's also the fact that the U.S. isn't the only major industrial power anymore, and not everybody wants to play by our rules.
All right. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Thanks.
You're welcome, Mark.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks down a bit in global trading, down about 0.2% in the U.K. and Germany. Asian markets closed mostly down. And Adidas stock up about 7%. That's Adidas for anyone podcasting us in Germany. The sportswear company had a strong profit report out today and a sunny outlook for the year. Parts of the restaurant industry are hitting challenging times with closures and lousy traffic, especially in casual dining. Overall traffic down 2.5% in January, according to restaurant analysis firm TDN2K. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra looks at why so many restaurants are struggling.
The restaurant industry's problems begin with growing costs. Bonnie Riggs is an analyst at the NPD Group.
Restaurant operators have been really challenged with increased labor costs, increased medical insurance, and their margins have been really squeezed.
In response, restaurants have raised prices. The thing is,
convenience, while it's important, kind of flies out the window when price becomes an obstacle.
At the same time, supermarket prices are down. David Donnan is a partner with A.T. Kearney.
I think people now are probably having dinner more at home because they can buy their groceries inexpensively and get some of the prepared foods from their grocery store and take it home for dinner.
Casual dining chains like Applebee's and Chili's have been trying to lure customers with wood-fired grills and craft beer. Riggs says to build business, restaurants need to offer an experience, a deal, great service, something diners can't get at home. In New York, I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
One of America's most iconic manufacturers faces a crisis like nothing before. Caterpillar is reeling after federal investigators raided the company's Illinois headquarters last week to seize files and computers. No charges filed yet, but lots and lots of questions dogging the heavy equipment maker. Dan Weissman has the story from Chicago.
Attorney Ken Yaden was a federal prosecutor for 10 years and an enforcement attorney for the Securities and Exchange Commission before that. He says he hasn't seen this kind of raid since the FBI moved on Enron about 15 years ago.
It's not unusual to go in and do a search of, say, a crack house. But it is somewhat unusual to go to a, you know, a Fortune 500, Fortune 100 company and, you know, begin conducting a search to find evidence of a crime.
In this case, the items demanded in the search warrants, which are under seal but were made public by a local newspaper, include information about, quote, efforts to thwart or avoid law enforcement scrutiny, unquote. Also on the list, counter-forensic computer programs that are designed to eliminate data. Usually, investigators trust big companies to just cough up whatever evidence officials ask for. The theory goes, it's better for the company in the long run to comply. Here's another former federal prosecutor, Renato Mariotti.
A company has an interest separate and apart from any particular individual, even if it's the CEO, to make sure that the government understands that they are being compliant with the law and that the company itself shouldn't be charged.
So maybe a few individuals get nailed for something, but everyone else moves on and the company keeps out of further trouble. In this case, Caterpillar's already been under scrutiny for years over one of the same issues that feds are investigating, a tax haven in Switzerland, which was the subject of a 2014 Senate investigation. The basic conclusion? Deeply uncool, but technically not illegal. Mariotti says that is business as usual.
There are a lot of things that companies do that are perfectly legal, but the average person would find absolutely shocking.
He says that's why smart companies play by the rules. In an emailed statement, Caterpillar spokeswoman Corey Scott says the company has been in full cooperation with law enforcement. I also want to stress, she writes, Caterpillar is a company with the highest integrity. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
And finally, Harvard is letting a dropout give its commencement speech this year. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg will take the stage, celebrating graduates for achieving what he never got around to. He started the company with campus pals and then left college to focus on building it. He is in fine company. 10 years before, another Harvard dropout, Bill Gates, gave the commencement speech. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.